The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we have survived another Rumble. So let me check around the table, and I'll start with our resident legal eagle, Jason Block.
Oh, man. You know, I mean, like I said, this belt looks good on me, but you know what? I really feel bad because of what happened after.
It was an interesting night, and somebody who has survived many strange nights, including this past Sunday, that would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Wait, I'm alive and actually on a main show? What?
Yeah, how did this happen?
I don't know. This is the first one from before Christmas.
Well, we're just glad to have you. But in case you weren't able to make it, I had VRM come by, and he's been tweaking a few things.
Yeah, I found the problem with the sound equipment. I've got the workaround in place. Timing might be a little delayed from when you want it, and the wrong things may play. So bear that in mind.
Oh, no, that's fine. Get new equipment is always going to be wonky like that, so I'm used to it. So, this Rumble weekend was a wonderful weekend, or 90% of it was. I mean, we had a wonderful Saturday night getting to watch TakeOver San Antonio, where we saw some wonderful stuff with where we'd seen the continuation of the, or perhaps completion, of the feud with Dillinger and Sanity. Watching Roderick Strong and Cian Almas, their match sponsored by the Home Depot.
yeah, stiff as a board. That one,
it's very. The crime of DIY being murdered by the authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They have booked themselves into a really big corner right now.
Well, yeah. This is Brothers of Destruction territory. You know, you put the belts on these big guys. Now, what are you gonna do?
Hey, Doc, now what?
So, yeah, we're having this wonderful, wonderful show, but wait.
Yes.
A wild Seth Rollins appears and tries to do his best Dean Ambrose.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view.
He demanded Triple H. And he demanded him right now, and I kind of wish they had thrown down. No. The evil boss comes out, and he looks at Rollins, and he just kind of shrugs and sends out the jobbers.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Oh, yeah. But again, yeah. As you said, the production on this made it better than it should have been.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. This was perfect. We had no, you know, we didn't have music actually play. Rollins came in through the crowd. The cameras were on the announcers. So blink and you miss it. You'd see Rollins sneak into the ring. But you're too busy, you know, looking at Corey's outrageous outfits. I think was Nigel at the table? I'm trying to remember.
No, he was at the kickoff table.
Okay. But yeah, so you know, Rollins did his own part. Not only with the fact that he was screaming his head off. If you go back and look at it, he's got the microphone in his hands and it is shaking with rage. which I'm okay. You know, all of this is just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, they made that feel like it was unscripted.
Exactly.
And even the post-show videos where he's being, where Seth is being dragged out, and I mean dragged out.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant and stuff.
That's how you do a show interruption. That's how you do it. We were dazzled and amazed as Asuka got to kill three women at once.
Yep.
And the cherry on top with a glorious main event.
I do not have one. I'd bring up this music, but...
That's okay. We also had, before the show, we had a glorious bomb was posted by DIY, supposedly catching Rude in the shower.
Oh,
yes!
My.
Yes, we covered this last week.
Yes, and then of course he opens it up and he's in full robe, and this was for the year end awards.
Yes, it was. Which we'd had, you know, a couple, some of the guys were doing videos for, including a wonderful thing with Peyton Royce and Billy Kay trying to get a good answer out of Drake, who shuffled his way out of trouble by doing No Way Jose. Completely out of the shot.
But I have to say, even though they are annoying as fuck, excuse my language, but they really, the fact that they got the quote-unquote breakout star of the year award, I loved how they did the social media presence that day when they were doing videos all over the place. Well done, ladies. Really
yes.
Good.
And just to add a little more, an extra dose to the annoying, when they announced that Asuka was the female star of the year, they came over and accepted the award for her.
Boy, that's a gentle way of saying they took it and basically said it's ours.
Mm-hmm. I'm being gentle now because Asuka won't be gentle later.
No, oh, they won't. No, and they weren't. And let me just tell you something good. Who took the power bomb through the table? Was that Nikki Cross?
Yes, Nikki Cross was essentially taken out of this match with a table spot up by the announce position, and she took it really. She took it well, and was essentially pretty much, you know, taken completely out of the match. So Asuka just had to deal with two annoying Australians instead of just one that we have to deal with on our show. And
oh, shit! Oh. Bullshit! you just abused Hope's privileges, but you know what? I'll allow it.
Jim's great. Not here to do it, so I'm going to do it. Jim Williams, damn you, find a way. Find a microphone and a headset and a way to get your ass back on my show. Pony.
Pony.
Thank you.
Yes. but... And of course, the awards of the year, deservedly so, Male Star of the Year and Competitor of the Year was King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura.
And for the fun of the main event, we had a scary moment, but I wouldn't be too scared. Nakamura sold a knee injury. That, you know, brought us up through the end of the match, and they did a backstage segment. I don't know how many people saw this. After TakeOver was over with, they actually did a backstage thing where they have the EMTs checking over Nakamura, and there's somebody leaning over his shoulder. And I looked and I said, oh no.
Oh!
Oh no!
Oh!
Yeah. Okay. I didn't expect to see his face on a camera for a few weeks yet. A wild Cassius Ono appears. He uses sympathy. It's not very effective, but, you know.
Well, I believe they had a full set of tapings this week where Mr. Ono is going to be involved, you say.
And I'm looking forward to that. I'll take a look at that. So that was our Saturday night in a nutshell.
Oh, and now, just, by the way, very like kudos to Bobby Roode, who channeled his 80s Ric Flair in the entrance.
like I said in the live cat, Ric Flair wanted his entrance back, to which Bobby Roode would have said, doesn't he pay enough alimony?
Oh! I don't know if I have a good one. Rainbow Dash?
Let her laugh.
Echo is back.
That's all right. Just kick the machine again. So that lovely little couple of hours whetted our appetites for the 6-hour marathon that was the Royal Rumble, if you sat down and actually watched all of the pre-show.
Raise his hand.
No, I did too, because I really didn't have anything else going on. So I actually got to see all three of the pre-show matches, the 6 women tag that I think all of us got wrong.
Yeah, every one of us did get that wrong.
Because I overlooked the clue.
Wait,
that they're...
actually? No.
Somebody did get it right, but a lot of us got it wrong because we all missed the clue about Naomi getting a push.
Wait a minute, I need to fix things. Oh, dear.
Did you break the spreadsheet again? VRM, will you to double-check his math?
Give me a second. Ah, dear. Because that means that my scores were all wrong.
Oh, then we will make a correction. Keep that.
Well, up. Actually, he's still got it.
Damn.
The only person that went up in points was fourth. And technically speaking, he shouldn't have even gotten his points.
Yeah, but we let that pass because of where he ended up.
No, he didn't wind up at the bottom. Oh, not anymore.
Well, that was still pretty much a judgment call, and he turned his stuff in 12 minutes past deadline, and I don't think they had started the first match 12 minutes into the pre-show.
Okay. So I've got the final. I've got the finals now.
All right, keep those handy. We'll sum that up once we get through the rest of the Rumble. A match that should have been on the main show. Personally, the tag team titles match where Sheamus and Cesaro were finally defeated by the Club, and a lot of people are saying it's too late for the Club.
I mean, it should have happened.
I'm like, no.
It should have happened a lot earlier.
I don't think it's
but
too late.
It's late, but it's not too late.
So, I'm happy for it. I'm a little surprised, though, that these guys didn't run into AJ at some point during the show. That would have really made the moment. The two of them as the tag champs, they meet up with AJ before his match with Hackett. And it would have been lovely.
Mm-hmm.
To top off the pre-show, we had Nia Jax mangle Sasha Banks. So I wonder how bad her knee really is.
It's probably just a WORK. Work radio.
It's all work.
Actually, that should have been the other one because this was in Houston.
Oh, sorry. Do you have the other one?
Stand by. Yes.
KFBE Kayfabe Radio.
Very good. Nice.
Yep.
Love it. Love it. Because that's right. Right on.
Yeah. To get our hopes up before the Royal Rumble, Stephanie said that Rollins was banned from the building. Wrestling Logic 101, that means he's supposed to be in the building somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Seth? Oh, we'll see him Monday. So, now, before I'm just going to the show itself, before we get to the, we'll do the Rumble in detail, but the show overall leading up to the Rumble was very, I thought was very good. The women's title match was a little clunky to start because I don't think Charlotte and Bayley have worked with each other in about a year and a half.
Yeah, and it showed. It showed. There were some spots early on, like the through the rope spot that Bayley tried. That was kind of
awkward. But you know, give them about, you know, after about 3 or 4 minutes, they got themselves on the same page and still had a serviceable match. And Reigns, Owens, I don't care whether you like or hate either one of these boys, they left it all out there for us. They really did.
They busted ass. I'm sorry. They killed each other in that.
Yeah, that and the statue spot, as I'm going to call it.
Oh, the chair stack?
The chair stack. Yeah, that was, it was like, I saw it, I was like, oh, oh no. He's got to go backwards. He's got to get pushed through it. They're not going to do a suplex there.
And that looked like a very painful version of the Foley rule. Ow, 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 ow.
It was great stuff. I love brawls like that when they do it right.
Exactly.
They do it right. Yeah.
And we get this, you know, we've got this wonderful match going on, but wait. Just to make sure that this match was violent enough, somebody pissed off Braun Strowman.
Braun! Sorry.
No, it's okay. He came out, murdered everybody, and left.
No, and well, he destroyed Reigns more than Owens did.
Granted, but he still got a couple licks on Owens. Remember that. Owens still retains. Jericho's happy that he's no longer being suspended 150 feet in the air because he's definitely afraid of heights.
I thought it was 300 feet in the air.
I don't know, but I'm surprised he did not get treated for the vertigo he was discussing on Monday. That would explain his presence, non-presence when it came to the Rumble proper. Thank you for giving Dean Ambrose bonus time for drawing numbers. That's still one of my favorite things that they do at the Rumble, and I wish they would do it more often. Even if they only did one. And Dean, I love you, Dean.
Doofus! Yeah. Doofus!
Let's see, your number here is 8. Oh, wait, it's upside down. 8.
dead.
Yeah,
just killed. Oh my god, awful. Just simple fifth grade humor, but it worked. Sorry, it worked.
It fits his character.
But that's Dean. That's Dean. That's my lovely chaotic neutral. You know. I'll think of something that you didn't even think about. Dean Ambrose. That's my boy. Let's see. Austin Aries snuck over to the announce table because we had a cruiserweight title match. We got to see Neville just tie Rich Swann in knots, but this was a good match. I'm digging Neville as a heel.
Neville as a heel. I'm sorry, he's frickin' spectacular. God, he's good. He's a hateful, nasty son of a bitch. God, I love him.
Well, it's one of those things that I've mentioned this on previous shows, and VRM, you'll agree with me on this. Just the shift of putting Neville in a place where he's the biggest dog in the park. Instead of being one of the smallest up with the main roster, with him tearing up the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, no longer the Barrett matches, getting fed to the some of the bigger guys. Now he's got somewhere where he can take the ball and run with it.
And he's going to run over most of the cruiserweight division, and we are going to love every second of this.
He's
going to
hold the belt till SummerSlam, I think, at the very least.
He has my permission. I'm okay with this. What I'm not okay with was the next match.
Really?
Well, okay. Disclaimer. This match was awesome. This match was amazing. This match was, pun fully intended, phenomenal. John Cena can wrestle people. AJ Styles was not carrying him.
Not in the least.
And they went out there and put on just a clinic. An absolute gorgeous clinic of wrestling.
Match of the night. I'd say by far match of the night, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely match of the night.
Put these two on pay-per-view any time, any day of the week, any month, they will steal the show.
I know, but I want my beat up John Cena some more.
Yeah, well, sadly, we got to settle this time for
Hello Kids!
Woo! Anyway.
Yeah, but that ending was nuts because you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Because you had him hit another AA, roll, what was it? He hits an AA, hits a senton, and then gets another one?
Yeah, he hit the senton, lifted AJ, like, rolled up. I was like, then he hit the senton, grabbed AJ, rolled back, rolled backwards over AJ, lifting him up in the process, then slamming him with another one for the three.
Brilliant. Smooth.
It was gorgeous.
Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. So, you know, so now we've got 30 guys that are all looking at each other going, how are we going to follow that?
Oh, boy. This is the part we've all been waiting for.
I will give them credit for about the first half of it. They were getting there. They were making it very entertaining, or at least it was easy to make it entertaining. Just add Gallagher.
Yeah. Well, I'm pulling up the. I'm using the other Rumble sheet since that gets me all the names, and it's a little incomplete in terms of who eliminated who, but
okay,
it's complete enough.
Okay, but yes, Mr. Gallagher and William the Third, his trusty umbrella.
Yes.
Came through for a wonderful set of spots with this goofy umbrella and Chris Jericho. The open umbrella spot, it has a Brazzers tag on it, by the way.
Oh, God. The fact that you know Brazzers just scares me.
No, I unfortunately know Brazzers through all of the other twisted and demented individuals, including, yes, one named Demented, on the freaking awesome fan boards. So we had that wonderful, wonderful thing. We had Strowman come in, and for a while, it looked like he was going to try to break Reigns' elimination record. He was throwing people out left and right.
Yeah, he was on a tear. Got all the way up to, he got up to six, which was about the time number 11 comes up. Before we get to number 11.
Yes, let's talk about number 10.
10.
but before we do that, by the way, the Mary Poppins elimination of Gallagher was just awesome, by the way.
I could have turned it off right there and I could have gone to bed happy.
He was actually the first one. That was the first elimination, actually.
That's okay. You know, he made wonderful use of his time.
Yes.
And yes, as we came up to number 10, you could see a great deal of knowledgeable fans chanting tennis in a specific way.
Yep.
And when his music hit and when his logo came up, the roof moved.
Oh, it was awesome. It was great.
Gavin Spears, how far you have come. I'm sorry, Ty Dillinger.
That's who he is. That's right, Gavin Spears. You're right. Holy crap.
And he's also Stan.
Oh, no, I've had to explain that to a few more people, and they're just as baffled as I was.
Oh.
Hey, you, buddy, what's your name?
Stan.
Oh! See? I just can't stand.
Taboo Tuesday, 2006.
Yep.
Was it Taboo Tuesday still, or was it Cyber Sunday by that point?
It was Taboo Tuesday. Taboo Tuesday was 05-06. Cyber Sunday was 07 to the end, which was like 08.
Yeah, because I got to go to a Cyber Sunday. I didn't get to go to Taboo Tuesday.
I thought Taboo Tuesday was 04-05.
No.
No, because...
Yeah, it was. It was. Taboo Tuesday was 04-05.
Okay. But yeah, all I remember is this had to be in 06, because this was during the reunion of
DX.
Yeah,
it was Cyber Sunday.
It was the first Cyber Sunday. Damn it.
Okay, that's all right. So anyway, so he's come up from a meme. He's come up from a infamous moment in DX history to being in the Royal Rumble. So... his mind was blown. He was interviewed after the Rumble, and you could tell how happy he was that he's finally, finally, finally this far up.
Then comes number 11.
We get to, yeah, number 11 was poor. Go ahead.
And it's James Ellsworth.
Which, Strowman was still in the ring. And Strowman was licking his chops.
And Kamala was like, go on, honey. It'll be okay.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You've got two hands. You'll have a chance.
And they managed to waste the entire 2 minutes.
They did.
And Ellsworth is going, I ain't fucking going in there. Are you nuts?
Yeah, but he grew a little backbone when the next guy came out because he was more than happy to assist him. Not.
I will score that entire pay-per-view.
Which was great. He's like, all right, we're going to go in together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, yeah. 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 Okay. One, two, three.
Let's
you and him fight.
Oh, no. Better.
You fool!
And Ambrose is going, you dumbass. And that's a bit of continuity too.
Yeah.
You say.
Mm-hmm.
It was. We had a couple little bits of continuity. Xavier Woods stopped dead in his tracks when he locks eyes with Bray Wyatt, calling back to the attempt to lure him away.
We've got the continuing saga of Sheamus and Cesaro versus the New Day.
Yes, and Sheamus and Cesaro are at each other's throats again because they had lost the tag titles earlier in the evening.
And then Cesaro got a little loopy in the match and just started swinging everybody.
Including his partner.
He swung Sheamus and he's like, oh.
No!
Ever see a drunk Swiss?
So, I mean, you know, so this was all wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff, and then it started to go downhill, and I was no.
Yeah, started getting in the last third of entries, and there's a lot of people in the ring. I mean, there was a long time without an elimination after we completely skipped over this. Sammy, Dean, and Baron Corbin
mm-hmm.
worked together to eliminate Strowman.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for number 10, 11, and 12 to happen. And that was all of the New Day going out basically simultaneously.
Right. And with Sheamus and Cesaro right behind him.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, Bray's out, of course. Apollo Crews comes out. Orton comes out. So now we're starting to get into the rest of the big names that are the main. Ziggler comes out. Harper comes out. So the entire Wyatt family is in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a spot where Luke decides that he's had enough.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this spot. Luke Harper's had enough of Bray Wyatt's shit and almost Sister Abigail's him.
Mm-hmm. Until...
baby oil!
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
But that's where things start falling off the rails.
Yeah, they went ahead and saved all of our big names, Lesnar and Undertaker and Goldberg coming out much later in the match, which I should have expected.
Mm-hmm. So Lesnar comes out at 26, mm-hmm. promptly runs through Dean and most of the rest of the ring, runs through Ziggler. Number 27 comes out. How you doing?
Not so good. That was not lucky.
No. Number 28 comes out though. Mm-hmm. Goldberg.
And he just picks up right where he left off at Survivor Series, and yep. I am 100% okay with this.
Shit sandwich, party of one. There you go.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, number 29 comes out. Gong.
And he teleported to the ring because there is no way you were going to catch him on those little high-speed golf carts they were bringing some people out on.
No.
Props to the camera crew for not getting that on the main show. I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, very good camera job. I was about to say, you read my mind. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I know there's some really twisted shit in there, Jason. You need a hobby.
yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, Taker teleports to the ring.
Yeah, him and Goldberg start clearing house. They trade some eliminations, and then Taker eliminates Goldberg.
So we're thinking, okay, those two, you know, if they're not going to do Lesnar Goldberg 3 at Mania, Goldberg Undertaker, I'm up for this.
Yeah. So at this point, we've run through all of the announced names. So now you're thinking, okay, we haven't had the big surprise return. We haven't had the big debut. Who's it going to be?
So if we could,
it's going to be Balor.
Drum roll, please. That actually worked. All right, here we go. Wait, no. Stop.
And
we got a Samoan named Joe. Don't blame me. Blame Tyler Brown.
That's true. You know what? You're right. That's true. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's named Joe. Unfortunately, his last name is Anoa'i.
Yeah, so everybody was annoyed about this.
And there was an awesome reaction video, which I've seen on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is it a holy shit, oh shit moment?
No. It's just every reaction video you see, you just hear that first chord go off, and it's like, you hear the da-da. Data, and then suddenly you just see the air just deflate out of everybody who's watching it. It's just like, what? No! Oh my God!
What? No, and why?
Oh
Although they, if they're going to do anything, Reigns might not be in any sort of title picture because he's the one who eliminated The Undertaker. Didn't the crowd hate him enough already?
Yeah.
And
of course, did you see the words that that Taker said? I'm not finished with you. I'm not done with you. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to hear those words from him.
No. Who in the hell do you think you are?
Bingo.
Yeah.
I was a little like, there were a lot of people that were actually hoping that he would maven him.
Oh, that would have been fantastic. Because I was actually, because the other thought I had, if we were going to get a maven moment, I was going to, if James Ellsworth actually got an elimination, he would have been maven to hell and back.
Alright, so.
But the good news. Go ahead, TRM.
Yeah, so that brings us down to our last four, which is Jericho, Reigns, Bray, and Orton.
Now, from that scenario, there are two guys that I wanted to win, and two guys that I didn't believe had any reason to win. I would have loved Jericho to win just so he could go start chasing, so we could start messing with the bromance. I wanted Bray to win because he fucking deserves it.
Bingo.
The other two guys have already won a Rumble. So, Stat Boy, what does WWE Logic do?
Here's what WWE Logic does.
Baby oil.
Yeah.
It didn't work in 09. It's not going to work now. And I still want my money back. Anyway. So, your winner of the 2017 Royal Rumble is Randy Orton. And the losers are not just the other 29 guys. It was the 50,000 people seeing this in person and the millions watching at home.
Again with this crap. Yeah.
Because as of right that second, that meant the main event at WrestleMania was Orton versus Cena.
Oh.
No, 2,394,639. Good lord.
Get the tomato!
Take that, creative. So, I'm glad I'm only paying $9.99 for this because I might be able to leave WrestleMania early. Unless they get silly and try to put Goldberg Lesnar as the main event. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself though. Stat Boy, show us the final numbers.
Right. In a two-way tie for last, myself and Cindy with 3 points. I'm going to take her points from her. Just for what she did on that night.
Not yes.
Multi. Chris and Shane tied right above us with 4. Carl VRM in 4th finished, tied for 3rd at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki finished at 6. And Jason Block is still your NAWC Fizzleweight Champion at 7 points.
Thank you. So,
congratulations, sir.
Yes, I will be holding it, but for like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber's coming up.
That's what I mean. So, the dust settles. We get to Monday.
Oh, God. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Rollins, of course, is, you know, a good chunk of the arc for the night was Seth Rollins butting heads with Stephanie and getting Triple H. And the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, actually did us a favor and saved his 20-minute promo for the end of the show.
Which was a great one, by the way.
Which was a wonderful promo where he's saying, I don't want to be that guy that comes out here and kills people and their careers. Subtly admitting he has a shovel. That's why I put on this suit and I go to work. That's why I go to the office and I try to create. But apparently Seth had finally worn him down, or so we thought, as he takes off his jacket, takes off his tie, unbuttons his shirt. Seth comes out, rips his shirt off, to which I have made the joke to somebody else. Okay, the guys are going to get naked and beat each other up. I'm ready.
Yep.
So Seth starts heading for the ring, and then...
Someone debuts about 24 hours too late.
Indeed. Wild Samoa Joe appears. He uses kill. It was a little too effective, and he knew it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they brawled around outside the ring, got in the ring. Now, here's where I think the sequence starts. So Seth's knocked back to the corner. He's winded. He starts to try a counterattack against Joe. Mm-hmm. And the way he bounced off of Joe,
mm-hmm,
looked kind of, on that right knee, looked a little suspicious.
Okay.
At first. And then he gets knocked down, slowly drags himself to his feet, and he's getting up with a wide base, which is flag number two.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joe locks in the Kikina clutch. And he's trying to ragdoll him a little. And then he brings it to the ground, strike three. You could barely hear it. And it's like the rest, most of the conversation over the announcers who are, shut up, Cole. But
they don't want us to hear. They don't want us to hear big bad Samoa Joe checking on his target.
Yeah, because and you can hear it because Rollins, the second he hits the ground, he screams, "Ow, my fire!" It's like,
yeah.
Joe whispers, "You okay?" It's like, Rollins replies, "I hope so." Then the camera eventually cuts around to them, and he finishes choking Seth out.
Right. Seth did leave the arena on crutches.
But he was putting weight on the knee.
That
was the critical thing, is he was putting weight on that leg. Not the full weight of his leg, but he was putting weight on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. That means it wasn't the A.
So they flew him down to Birmingham. His tweet was very optimistic. I'm guessing they're going to scope his knee, and they're just going to cross their fingers that they can get him back for Mania.
Right, because the current diagnosis is the M. So the medial collateral ligament, MCL, is the outside of the knee.
Okay.
So out of all four of the CLs, that is the best one. I don't mean to say that there's a good one or not to tear, because it's all bad if you tear one. But still, out of all four, that is the best one. That's the one that has the quickest recovery time.
Right. And Seth busted his ass after after his knee exploded on him. Before, so he's gonna make every effort to make it to Mania. Kayfabe wise, this just makes Joe look even more like a monster.
Yes, and brilliant, if I may.
Yes,
brilliant tweet by Samoa Joe, who changed his name to the Destroyer on his Twitter feed. And basically tweeted to Triple H, "I believe I've done what you've asked me to do." Brilliant! Ooh. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this calls back to what Triple H said at the end of TakeOver, when he mentions, that he's trying to be a creator, but as a creator, the Destroyer isn't that far behind. Now, when he says it, we assume that we're just talking between COO Triple H and wrestler Triple H. but he's apparently outsourced.
Oh, yes. Now, may I put your booking hat on, Miss Heyman?
I'd rather you not use mine. I know you've got one.
No. I'm asking you for you to put your own on first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Let's say, for argument's sake, Seth is not ready for WrestleMania.
Okay.
Who does Triple H fight at all? And if so, who does he fight?
I know this is a repeat, but it might kill a couple, two birds with one stone. The only backup Rollins really has is Reigns. So if Hunter's going to wrestle at all, we divert Roman from Undertaker to see if we can find somebody better for Taker to play with. And we have Reigns and Joe going at it. I'll pay some money for that. As he tries to avenge his brother.
Yeah, because right now feud's going into Fastlane. We've got Braun and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Raw tag team titles continuing.
Mm-hmm.
We know Lesnar Goldberg is for Mania.
Well, that's what my dear Uncle Paul said. So
yes,
and
yes.
Dear Uncle Paul did something uncharacteristic in his promo. He botched.
A minute
he said that Goldberg had beaten Lesnar in a minute 26 seconds at the Rumble.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That's an uncharacteristic botch from Uncle Paul.
Indeed.
Yeah, but...
That's okay. We still want to fight him one more time at Mania. So yes, that's all set. So neither one of them have to do anything until WrestleMania, which is pretty much what they're going to do. Strowman, however, is almost as smart as he is big.
Mm-hmm.
In a lovely, lovely, lovely bit of continuity, he calls out Owens, "You owe me a title match, and I have the video to prove it." Now, you're not laughing at.
I'm not laughing at the thing. I'm laughing at the reaction afterwards to it.
It's like, wait, what? No, that was Photoshop.
That's was CGI. Photoshop. It's CGI. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. Watching Owens and Jericho's histrionics. Then again, I could watch Owens and Jericho, you know. I could probably watch them trade recipes and I'd still be entertained. So we got that match, and then we get Jericho and Sami Zayn, you know, for free. Thank you. You were gonna say VRM?
Okay. I'll take that. If you're just gonna give it away, that yeah, I'll take that. I'd like to see the bigger version in a couple weeks.
Yes, I would like to see that at Fastlane for sure. So, yes, please. Yes, please, and thank you. Let's see. The projected Fastlane card, Neville, is probably isn't done with Rich Swann. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, he's just killing it as the bitter, angry king of the cruiserweights. And he has every right to be bitter and has every right to be angry. First, you don't put him in the cruiserweight tournament. Then you don't put him in the UK tournament. So, not a happy cruiser. Now that he's got the cruiserweight title, now he gets to stomp on other people about it. So, that's pretty much the majority of what we needed to know for Monday night. We'll take a peek into Tuesday, where AJ's still not happy that his belt went away. Why's he got it? He wants a one-on-one match. But that one-on-one match, let's see. If we're coming up quick on Chamber. Good luck with that, AJ. Because Hot Kids is going to defend that title in the Chamber with AJ, with Miz, with Dean, with Bray Wyatt, and with Corbin. I'd pay more than $9.99 for this.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I really do. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the Miz Corbin interactions at the table were interesting, say the least.
They were outstanding. Oh my God. Miz and Corbin yelling at each other was Nikki, that's what you wanted, right? That's the guy you want to see.
Yes, that is the Corbin we need. That is the Corbin we need. Now, a couple times Miz got him pretty good, but Corbin stood up for himself, was articulate, and when they threw down, it was just icing on the cake. But this is what I think WWE is seeing in Corbin. He's had several appearances on Talking Smack where he's presented himself very well, and they're going to slowly bring that to television. I don't think it'll turn him face, but I think a lot more people will start appreciating him because I thought he was a little wooden and a little flat too. But again, doing the biker motif on a wrestler is kind of a death sentence in my eyes. Just because the Harris brothers. Anyway, again, that's just me. What else? What other silliness did we have?
We had Harper.
Yeah, Harper's still not terribly happy about being kicked out of the family. And when Bray and Orton decide to threaten Cena, he decides to teleport in. I guess he has his own powers. I thought Bray was the only one who was allowed to teleport. But, okay. Now, hands up, how many people were just waiting for it to turn into the three of them beating up John Cena?
What? Hands up.
Hi.
Nope, my hands aren't.
You didn't think it was going to happen?
No. Seemed a little bit too, how do I put it, obvious.
Convenient?
Yeah, that too.
Okay. So, I think a couple of other big things that happened is that the tag team, just to show us that SmackDown has a wonderful tag team division, American Alpha is pissed. We've had the belts for 30 days and nobody's even looked at us. They go to the ring and say, who wants them? And then we find that the rest of the division finally woke up.
yeah, the entire division comes out and just Schmaz.
It was pretty. Oh my yeah. God, pretty.
Which set up, I believe, on Talking Smack at the Chamber a gauntlet match, I believe. Believe that is correct. Gauntlet match at the Rumble?
Not at the Rumble, maybe at Chamber.
At Chamber, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, that's fine. I missed Talking Smack this week, so did anybody else watch it?
No.
No.
Okay. But a gauntlet match sounds like fun, and I would enjoy every second of that. I would also pay money for Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin to come out as a surprise tag team in that gauntlet match. Please?
They call it a tag team turmoil match. That's gauntlet, right?
No, wait, tag team turmoil. I remember hearing... that was a fatal four-way, wasn't it, at a...
Yeah, and basically all teams start off, and you know when a person's eliminated, the team is eliminated, and the last team wins. So
yeah,
it's going to be Alpha versus the American Alpha versus the Usos, the Ascension, the Vaudevillains, Breezango, and Slater Gator, as you call them.
No, the Legislators.
Legislators, excuse me.
And Breezango or the Fashion Police, whichever you would like to call them.
Right. And
they
also
need more TV time. Sorry.
Yes, they do. And, of course, on Talking Smack, because of the push you were talking about, Naomi gets to defend again. I mean, Bliss gets to defend against Naomi at Chamber.
And pardon me that I'm just going to say it's about damn time. When Naomi was part of the all-women's NXT, she was the only pure athlete, I think, out of the group they had, save for the giantess who got herself disqualified for porn.
Mm-hmm.
So she's somebody that I have been waiting for to get her moment in the sun. I felt that she had been completely wasted when she was stuck with Cameron with the Funkadactyls. You know, once she got her own thing, then it was just a matter of her finding her quote-unquote voice. And the Neon Rave entrance is fantastic, and she's just killing it in the ring. I'm looking forward to her match with Alexa.
And the other women's match, Nikki and Natalya come into Daniel's office. Natalya's got security.
She doesn't feel safe in this environment. Dear, you're from the Heart Clan. You've been in the presence of Stu. Your father is the Anvil. Why the fuck do you need security?
Yeah.
And
they start and it starts a shouting match.
Because she's as much of a pussy, I mean, cat as Two Paws, maybe.
But yeah, they get Nikki and Natalya get into this wonderful shouting match that finally breaks Daniel Bryan.
Enough!
and then he takes yoga breathing from his wife, who went hiking at what was she went hiking or something at 27 weeks pregnant. Good Lord, woman!
Yikes! So, yeah, and he makes that match. And needed a moment. Poor guy.
Damn. He needed a breathing. He needed Dr. Shelby.
Yes. You know, Dr. Shelby should be on speed dial anyway. We got lots of people who need help. So poked my head in on 205 Live and I got to see Akira Tozawa debut.
Woohoo!
And this is I love his intensity. I don't care if he can't speak English.
Oh, he can.
Oh, so that was just a bluff. That was just a bluff when they
yes,
interviewed him.
That awesome. Was a bluff, mainly because he was actually speaking English back when, you know, Apollo Crews debuted in Dragon Gate, Japan, he was essentially his best friend, and that's the reason why those two are thick as thieves.
Excellent. Then I'm hoping they do. They'll actually do an angle. And this is kind of based off a road story, but where everybody thinks Tozawa doesn't understand English or doesn't speak it, you know, can't speak it. So they'll start messing with him. And at some point that he's going to say stuff in perfect English, no accent.
He does have accent, but it's not horrible.
No, it's not. It's not thick like Asuka's or Shinsuke Nakamura's is it?
Not as thick.
Okay.
Now I also have a question for you, Nikki. What do you think of the Aries bad journalism gimmick, which has been funny as hell the last couple of last week or so?
I find him ridiculous anyway, and just the fact that at some point they're going to be selling thumb to the eye t-shirts for him. Which seems to be his solution to any problem in the ring. You just give him a thumb to the eye. That fixes everything.
Okay.
So,
sorry, folks.
I can excuse bad journalism. We did.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this?
I like turtles.
Well, as they continue the slow edition of Cruiserweights 2205 Live, they aired a package for Grand Metalik, who will probably be debuting in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I also enjoyed Noam Dar kissing up to Neville.
Oh, that was great. Oh, yes.
Noam Dar is such a slime ball. Oh, my God.
He's, you know, every time I watch him, I need to clean the screen. It's like he oozes.
Yes.
Sorry. You're right. He oozes. Oh.
And you leave your baggage in the backstage area. He called me baggage! Easy, Alicia. Easy. No. That's not what he meant. Honest. And I think he just enjoys the sliminess because he gets away with saying Alicia Fox.
Fox. Alicia Fox. It's like he lowers the timber about two levels.
That's just because he wants to hide the fact that there's a U in there and not an O. Because that's how it comes across to me.
You ain't wrong, you know.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you know, despite his bravado, he doesn't seem to deliver in the ring, so he didn't disappoint Alicia, but he sure as hell disappointed Neville and left Dar to get mangled by Gallagher and Cedric Alexander.
Because Neville, a king doesn't do a servant's work. What's this? Right?
Right, and he has no time for gestures like Dar. You know, I thought you were actually something. You're not worthy of being my partner, and he left. Love it. Absolutely love it. The just, you know, so much good going on that why does the top of SmackDown look just, you know, comes up as hashtag same old shit?
That's because a very certain someone is scared to pull the trigger and build new stars. I know, it's something that I've been saying for years, but what happens once the part-timers go away entirely?
I know.
You have nobody. And that is going to kill them.
And that's what's got me, you know, crazy worried about the fact that I hope that they're not trying to do Cena and Orton for Mania. So with Chamber, you know, you know, he has a 1-in-6 chance, but, you know, we know how Cena works. Just, you know, we could put him in there with Goldberg, Lesnar, Undertaker, Triple H, and somebody else, and he'd still win.
I disagree with that. I think he drops it at the Chamber. I really do. I don't think, I don't know why they had to take it off of Styles to do it, but I really think that, I think Wyatt takes it. I think they have the Wyatt Orton thing because I think that's going to be very interesting.
That'd be worth my money. That would be definitely worth my money because looking at the six, Cena is not going to keep it, which is kind of a wasted title reign for him just to tie Flair's record. But they're not going to put it back on Ambrose just yet. Or Corbin's not ready. Miz is a dark horse. Styles and Wyatt are the actual threats.
Because I think what they're setting up for is Miz, Ambrose, Corbin as a three-way for the Intercontinental title at Mania. That's the way I see it.
And I would actually enjoy that. I would thoroughly enjoy that. So, I would also be interested if Ziggler would like to remove somebody from this match. But I don't think that's going to happen. They've jump-started him in a feud with Apollo Crews that might actually get Apollo Crews some attention.
Yep.
And not just smiley black athlete.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but because he's got charisma, we just haven't found a way to really project it.
What I really also like is, by the way, if I may do a little bit of a subject switch, speaking of WrestleMania, there is an awesome documentary that just debuted on the network that you must catch called WWE 24 WrestleMania Dallas.
Ah, yes. Where cameras were everywhere backstage and you get to see all the behind-the-scenes chaos that is a WrestleMania day.
And actually the whole WrestleMania weekend started with NXT. Yes, what they did was is that they followed it from NXT, okay?
Okay.
And they had cameras backstage, and they had Triple H there,
mm-hmm.
and basically saying, you know, just, you know, put on a show, and then they showed the show, and then he went in the locker room and said, "You bastards!" He said, "I asked, you know, to make the main roster, you know, work for it, not just, you know, go, what the hell do we have to do?"
Oh, that's awesome. I'll watch it just for that moment.
Okay. And he also he told Zane, he said, "Finish what you started here." Okay.
Yeah.
So they focused on certain people, including AJ Styles, who had the biggest shit-eating grin throughout the entire documentary. He's like, "Holy fuck, I'm at WrestleMania." You know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, you can hear all the voices in his head, VRM. You could hear them all marking out, right?
Yeah.
So you also had some very, very emotional moments where you saw Charlotte talk about the fact that she wasn't doing it for her father. She was doing it for her brother, Reed, who had passed away,
mm-hmm.
if you remember correctly.
Yes.
You also saw the Hall of Fame ceremony where the New Day got to induct the Freebirds. Mm-hmm. And how the New Day were actually introduced as were used as the business partners. We're in the business partners meeting.
Interesting.
And
it was,
yes, and you got to see that. You got to see, you know, how Triple H went into this dingy gym and actually got a workout in, and you get to see the evil boss, Dr. Leverskew, you know, beat up an old gym bag, basically, you know, half naked. And
I have no problem with this.
Yes. And basically how, you know, him walking through the production meeting of NXT and then doing other meetings, etc. Mm-hmm. And basically how he's evolved. And they also showed the backstage moments of the whole Shane Undertaker match and how Shane was telling his kids, okay, look, can you guys handle going out with me to the entrance? And he was explaining how to do this. And then they actually showed the bump. We're talking, you know.
Yeah, that bump.
That bump, which he didn't need to do, this stupid bastard. And then afterwards, the first person who got a hug from him was Vince. Vince and him hugged. Okay.
Hey, that's significant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you get to see it, and it is captured on camera. You also get to see the whole Roman Triple H thing. And yes, there was a lot of crowd sweetening afterwards and music production in that last bit.
Yeah.
And Roman said, yeah, I got haters. He said, yeah, people want to boo the crap out of me, but you know what? They're standing up. He says, I don't care.
It's the Cena axiom. You are still making noise. You are still reacting. That means I still have a job.
Yeah.
So you guys want to hate Roman and you want him to go away? You got to shut up and turn your back to the ring. You're not, you know, booing him ain't gonna make anything any better.
Nope. And there's really good stuff about, you know, about access. And like I said, they focused on certain people who were there. Very interesting. They didn't focus on Lesnar. They didn't focus on Jericho. They focused on Styles, Charlotte, Reigns, Triple H, and the whole Stephanie entrance. And there were some very good things. And they also had, you know, Vince McMahon. There was a pretty funny moment when Snoop was rehearsing his rap for Sasha Banks, where him and Vince hug it out a little bit.
And unfortunately, those four words are coming to mind that I do not want to say.
Hug it out, man?
No. What's up, Mike?
No. Yeah. Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Sorry, that immediately came to mind and was like, oh, come on. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, that wasn't the only reason I wanted to punch him that night. So, something about a do-rag and the ECW title.
Meanwhile, as we were sitting here talking about that documentary, another documentary just finished up on ESPN.
Yes, my DVR is probably thoroughly confused. 30 for 30. I never thought ESPN would actually touch this. But now that they're so cozy with the WWE, now both of them can look back and laugh at this and their documentary, This Was the XFL.
Yeah, directed by Charlie Ebersol.
Dick's brother, I believe.
Brother or son?
Let's see.
It's definitely son.
Okay.
1980, born in 82.
Okay. So, yeah. So, again, I was still a big supporter. I'm a big supporter of the XFL. I was a huge supporter of the XFL. I had Orlando Rage tickets. I went to all of the home games. Loved every minute of it. And I would pay hard-earned money to listen to guys talk about their $2,500 bonuses to buy clothes for their family, to fix up their house, to expand their business outside of football, then spend 5 seconds listening to a college athlete bragging about his 8-figure signing bonus and buying Escalades for everybody in his family. That's why I will defend the XFL forever.
I will also defend the XFL for all the technological stuff that the NFL hasn't given credit one to them for.
It's like the Madden cam.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one. Without the XFL, you would never have that.
So, yeah. I mean, yes, there was some goofy, stupid shit in the XFL. And they did a couple of things. They did there were a couple of things they didn't quite work with, but really the gist part of the XFL's collapse was the fact that the NFL was quashing them. And I want to see if that comes up at all in this documentary.
I hope, but I don't know if they'll do it because ESPN doesn't want to piss off the big brother, you say.
Well, that's what I mean. ESPN and WWE are so buddy-buddy now. I just want to know if they're willing to at least admit that this was a part of the problem. Because I remember that I couldn't get XFL scores anywhere except for a local 24-hour. There was a local 24-hour news channel that would put up scores.
That said, it looked like they were meant. I had it on mute because I didn't want it to be picked up by the microphone.
Right.
But it looked like they were mentioning things about they cut in with like SportsCenter broadcasts of the time during the. During it, so it's possible that they mentioned that ESPN didn't even consider it.
Right, because it's my understanding that the NFL went to ESPN and says, you even think about the word XFL and you won't be able to talk about us anymore, which is bullshit. But, you know, that was 16 years ago, and that scares me. I still have all my paperwork.
Wow. We'll have a review of that next week of This is the XFL.
Yes, because I plan on watching that either tonight or tomorrow night and just soak it in and cross my fingers that maybe I'll find myself in a crowd shot.
Oh, that would be fun.
Cuz I have my seats were front row on the 40-yard line. Behind the home team. So me and my best friend and her brother sat there and screamed our heads off, and I introduced my best friend to football. So now she is a diehard LSU fan. She's a diehard Saints fan. And living happily ever after near New Orleans. So I think we've covered everything we needed to cover. Unless anything else is broken in the last hour or so.
Let me take a look and see. Just checking to see if there's anything really.
Okay.
Kevin Nash. Hello.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
What?
Hi Kevin Nash. And no, he didn't tear his quad. He just tore everything in his shoulder.
Ooh.
Rotator cuff. Long head right bicep. Torn labrum.
Ow. Kev, I guess you're going to be drinking wine with the other hand for a little while. But I can now. I've got him in my head now. It sucks. I'm going to be laid up for a little while, but you know it's not really a big deal. The only thing that bothers me is that if they're going to give me meds for the pain, then I can't drink my wine with it. I can't wash the meds down with my wine. Shame, because I have some really nice reds that I would love to mix with them and just see how that feels.
But
I'm not Brian Henniger, so that's
exactly. He's got it. But by the way, he is really a wine guy, isn't he? For
yes,
real,
he is. For real, for reals. This is. But yeah, ow, That makes my shoulder itch. Actually, I do have one other thing that I'm gonna mention, because the WWE mentioned it a whole lot over this weekend. They're trying to get me another time sink.
Ah, yes.
WWE Champions, which actually has been out in Australia and a few other countries and has finally debuted here in the States. I know this because I tried to download the Australian version and couldn't get it to run. It's essentially like Marvel Puzzle Quest. There's a whole bunch of different games that do this, where you essentially are using match 3 against your opponent, and they do skill sets based on colors, you know who can beat what, how many points, you know, leveling your characters, all that wonderful stuff.
Nikki?
Yes.
I have it.
So do I.
Okay. And it's working and all that fun stuff. The no Australian version, it is fully up.
Oh, no. The American version is fully up. But I'm saying that a couple of months ago, I came across it to download the Australian version. But yeah, I mean, I've been messing with this. This is definitely a free-to-play, pay-to-win kind of game. This one I can actually put down on a regular basis. They have a wonderful intro where Vince and Triple H just rag on you, saying, you know, you're never going to be anything in this business. You know, who the hell are you anyway? And that's when you put in your name. So my roster currently consists of, somehow I got Triple H, Cena, Kevin Owens, Corporate Kane, The Rock, NXT era Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and Solo Juggernaut. So, it ain't bad. It's a nice little thing to pass the time, but this is one that I can put down. Cards, not so much. But if you're into match 3 games, this one's just has a couple of extra layers on it. You know, download it, enjoy it, delete it. You won't hurt my feelings. You might hurt their feelings, but okay, that's not news. Sorry. Checking Mikey news ticker, since he's watching TNA. And he doesn't even have anything funny to say this time. Just complaining about Josh Matthews being such a horn toad in front of Rain. They're married, which scares me. I feel bad for her. All right. I think that's everything. What's this? Okay, never mind. I just saw the video, so. And yes, his English is very good. He knows all the important words.
Yes, he does.
So, before we call it a show, we got to do one other thing. We got to sell some soap. Hey, VRM.
Yeah.
You got anything to promote?
I wish I did, because I need the money to recoup some of the costs on on all this hardware.
Dude, I wish I could help you. Hey, Stat Boy.
Yeah?
You got anything to promote?
BashCon in Toledo, Ohio is happening in 2 weeks. I'll be there, hopefully.
DashCon?
BashCon.
Oh, God. If it was that... God, DashCon.
No, this is the University of Toledo's gaming situation.
Oh, gaming convention. Okay.
Yes, that'd be the one.
Okay, I thought you said DashCon. I'm like, holy shit, Ohio's got a pony convention?
If they do, it's probably going to be in Columbus or Cleveland, not Toledo.
That's true. So, Is Muckamuck around, Jason?
Don't know. He probably just recorded and went to bed.
Okay. Well, then you go ahead and take those duties.
I will do that. Let's start with what we recorded last night, which was Wednesday, which was a new episode of We Love to Interrupt. We recorded Gordon was not there, so me and Chico just talked about the latest gaming news. We will have new episodes of Touch 'Em All. We will have new episodes of Red State, Blue State. Pixel Nation was back last week with a catch-up edition, including news on the Switch. I believe this weekend, because we have this game, in the words of Broken Matt Hardy, the game that is big, the bowl that is super. Am I, you know, speaking like
that? The great big championship game, if you remember the XFL's version.
The big, great big championship game, yes. And when we do that, and we probably will have a live cap for that, and all the prop bets and all that good stuff. And of course, you could listen to all the programs here on Spectrum One, included, you know, here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, you know, Google Play Music, and pretty much anywhere and everywhere. So there you go.
So I wish I had something to promote but I am right here. And despite the last 5 minutes of the Rumble, I still say we had a pretty good weekend of wrestling.
Yes, we did. It was pretty fun.
So, you know, we had some wonderful stuff, and I'm hoping that they are going to surprise us and impress us and actually give us a reason to say, okay, that's worth more than $9.99. So for our Chief High Muckety Muck, sweet dreams, sir. For Statboy Josh Henniger, for VRM, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. We will be back next week. You have been warned.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.